is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Selina Zito of the Washington Examiner. She writes the Middle of Somewhere column, and we're going now to Erie, Pennsylvania. The zip code is 10651. Erie on Lake Erie is a story of the 19th and 20th century. Here in the 21st, what is to be done? Often it turns on who won Erie for the presidential race, but there's much more. And Selina is here to introduce us not only to the Republican and Democrats who vote there, but also Sarah's ice cream along the Erie shoreline. Selina, a very good evening to you. Sarah's ice cream. That was the part of the story where I pause and go, you know, I think I'm hungry. What do we learn at Sarah's about the needs and concerns and vision of the people of Erie? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So Sarah's Diner along the peninsula, the Erie Peninsula, is iconic. It's been there for generations, and it's known not just for its ice cream, but also its incredible milkshakes that come in every flavor known to man. And everyone seems to have to stop there either on their way to the beach and or on their way off of the peninsula. The peninsula is a sort of delightful place where there's 14 beaches on the lakeside, and then great fishing and boating on the bayside. And it's where blue collar America, that was sort of our ocean. That was our ocean city as we were growing up, because it wasn't far from places like Youngstown or Wheeling or Pittsburgh or Johnstown. So people were talking, natives, people that live around there, were talking about what they need from local government. And it's, you know, it's economic development. It's keeping developing a robust transportation system and taking care of the bridges and roads. And so that's what is important to the voters in Erie County at large. And oftentimes in politics, people who run get swept up in the sort of sexiness, for lack of a better word, of national politics, and make that part of how they run for office. But if you listen to people, people want someone who will manage your region, not turn it into, you know, a place where all you talk about are national issues.
You mentioned the detail. This is important because we've covered very carefully over the years a conversation about Erie, Pennsylvania, that it's the poorest zip code in Pennsylvania. And always I remember the revival efforts in downtown Erie and along the lakefront. Is that proceeding now after 4 years of Trump? Is there a new turn with the beginning of the Biden administration? Is there a new vision?
Well, outside of government, one of the things that was incredibly successful and an important part of the tax cuts of 2017/2018 was the opportunity zones. These were something that Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina worked on for years and was able to get passed through in the tax cut. And opportunity zones have some government input, but a lot of it is generating the local foundations and as well as development organizations to invest in the local communities. Erie, outside of government, has done well in developing the downtown area. Sort of, it's an old-fashioned center square with a sort of park and a fountain in the middle, and then all surrounded in a square by businesses. And the Erie Economic Development Corporation has done a successful job working essentially outside and also with venture capitalists working outside of government to develop that.
Because Erie, Pennsylvania is going to come again in the national news in 2024, we can guarantee it. What is it that made it possible for Mr. Trump to win in 16 and Mr. Biden to win in 20? Is there one story that we can mention to the national press when they airdrop in?
Well, I think that Trump essentially narrowly won and narrowly lost in 2016 and 2020 by about the same amount of votes. I often look to seniors as my gauge in that area, and what he lost in that county were senior citizens' votes, and it was all on how he prosecuted and his comportment on COVID. So Erie County still remains a county that is very much a swing county and very much up in the air in terms of what happens in 2024. I don't think there's any guarantees for either party.
We go to Aberdeen, South Dakota. This also is a telltale for the future, and it sits right now on a story that's been here for decades. The wind turbine plant in downtown Erie, in downtown Aberdeen, suddenly closing. 300 jobs gone. What happened, Selena?
So there's many layers to this story, and I think we should begin back in January when President Biden stopped the Keystone Pipeline. And he stopped the Keystone Pipeline because he said there's going to be an investment in wind turbines and solar energy and to get away from the fossil fuels. Unfortunately, in the wind turbine industry and in the solar industry, much of those products come from China. And the competition in terms of pricing, there's no way to compete with the numbers that China has. And so therefore, the wind turbine company in South Dakota is closing. It can't keep up with the foreign competition. China is outpricing them. And, if you're not getting orders, you're not able to place, you're not able to keep your employees, or nor are you able to keep your business open. So it's a real sort of conflict that we don't talk about a lot in the news. But if the president's idea is for people who lose their jobs in the fossil fuel energy to find jobs in the wind and solar energy, then industries, then making it harder for China to supply it in this country is the only solution, or there will be more wind turbine places and solar panel places closing because they can't compete for the price.
There is a mixed story here that Selena brings to us. It's a community of 28,000. This is one of her informants. 300 jobs is a blow to a community that small. Blow because of those jobs are anchors for a whole area of service jobs. However,
there are two
facilities in town that are hiring, 3M and Banner Engineering. Good for South Dakota. But Selena, I thought about the way you reported this. If I have a job for 14 years and suddenly I'm out of that job, unemployed, and I've lost my daily routine, I've lost all my friends, going down the road to 3M, I can get an hourly job again. I won't have seniority. I'm the new guy, but I'm a little older than all these young people, and they have a possession of place. It would be, well, we've all gone through changes like this, and it's not the same as being appreciated for the work you're doing for renewable energy.
Yeah, absolutely. But, there is, whether you like what you do in your job or not, there is still that sense of place and that sense of community associated with that job. And that is a loss, first of all, just that part. And then losing your seniority, losing the skills that you cultivated for, well over a decade, is that's also a loss. And people don't take into account the impact, the psychological impact of loss. It's why we have seen throughout the industrial Midwest for decades this sort of despair that has happened among people that live there because of the job loss and being forced to move. And, you know, that impacts generations of families, that impacts the school districts. You know, there's so much more impact than just someone losing their job.
Also, Selena, this is the story we're told, that China's competition is not on a level playing field. We've been told this for years now, and here's an example of what are you going to do about it. We're going to turn now to another in a global problem that comes home to roost, that is the ransomware stories that you've read recently at Colonial Pipeline and at JBS Meats. Selena takes us to Murraysville, Pennsylvania to tell that story. Selena Zito, a middle of somewhere columnist for the Washington Examiner. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.